All right, if you could go ahead and do the Uncharted theme music.
Blondie, blondie, stash, stash.
No, that's...
Blondie, blondie, stash, stash, stash.
Actually, that was kind of close to the melody of it. That's not bad. Yeah, that'll work.
Yeah, that was my my singing right there, too.
All right, welcome to the next episode of Fathers of the Grind. This is our official Uncharted 4 spoiler cast. And my name is Tim Nestor. I'm here with Derek Teague. How's it going, buddy?
Grind delicious.
Actually, you know what? My first reaction was, but now I'm coming around on it already. I kind of like it. Let's stick with
According
it.
According to John Martin, we are grinders.
Yeah, I heard that. I did see that. Yeah. All right, well, we're going to talk about Uncharted 4. That's really all we're going to talk about for this episode. And so both of us have played it through. It released about a week and a half ago by the time you're listening to this, maybe 2 weeks ago even. And we've had plenty of time to play it. I played it through just on normal difficulty. I wanted to experience the whole story. I'm not looking to impress anybody with my Uncharted 4 skills. I don't know about you, if you played it on hard or crushing, or if you were trying to get trophies. Was that the way?
I put it on super casual.
Okay, super cash. Got it.
No, I played it on normal.
Yeah, no, so we both finished the game, and so we're going to be talking about full spoilers for the game. Everything from the visuals and the aesthetic stuff, all the way down to the characters and the setting and the story, the twist, the ending. So if you don't want to hear about Uncharted 4, if you have not played it yet, if you plan on playing it at some point and you don't want to have it spoiled, then turn this off now and tune in next week. You've been warned. Oh, also, as a side warning, we will likely be mentioning things from the previous games. It's possible. I don't know for sure, but we might be referencing the previous games and spoiling
those
a bit.
Yeah, I would make sure you've played all four. Yeah. I'm sure there will be something that's said.
Yeah, yeah. So make sure you have played all four of these. Okay, we got that out of the way. Don't get mad at us if you have something spoiled and you're still listening after that big warning. All right? All right, so Uncharted 4, before we get into some of the details of the game, I just wanted to get your general overall thoughts on the game. Now that you've completed it, you've had a few days to let it marinate, tell me what you think about Uncharted 4.
I thought it was, I'll be honest, when I first started playing it, the first reaction was like, wow, this is gorgeous. But I was coming off of playing Dark Souls 3, and I was really hooked on Dark Souls 3, so when I actually started playing the game, I was struggling to get, like, hooked.
Because you had another game on your mind already. That does...
Yeah, I mean, I had already beaten Dark Souls 3 twice, but I still... I don't know, it was like I still wanted to play that, even though I was should have been done with it.
Yeah.
And so when I was playing Uncharted, it was like an adjustment, different style of game. Obviously, gameplay is not even close, but the only thing they have in common is third-person view. And so when I started playing it, I didn't get hooked, because... And we'll probably talk about this more as we get into it, so I won't dive too deep right now, but Uncharted 4 really starts off slow. And I think that was part of my issue in the beginning. And so, in the beginning, not, you know, a little bit of like, yeah, I like it, but I don't know how I feel about it. And then as the game went on, that was when I started going, oh, this is epic. Oh, this is even better. Wow, they just keep, you know, rolling out the hits. And I ended up walking away really, really, really enjoying it and actually looking forward to playing it again.
Now, let me ask you this. You said it started slow. I know the opening scene reminded me a little bit of Uncharted 2, in that there's a dramatic situation that you have to work your way through, and then something big happens, and it cuts to black, and then it goes to a flashback to give you the setup of how we got here.
Mm-hmm.
And so I thought that opening was pretty dynamic. But you did you think that part was slow? Or are you talking about the few early chapters after that, chapters 2 through almost 5?
Yeah, I'm
five.
Talking about like the first 5 or 6 chapters.
Okay.
Like,
okay.
There are action parts. It's not like you're just walking through and talking the whole time.
Sure.
It's just the overall. And again, and I think this is just, you know, there are slow parts in the other Uncharted games. Like, there are parts where it's like, hey, we're not shooting something. You're walking through, like, say, a village and talking to a guy. That type of stuff. There are parts like that. Naughty Dog does a good job of not throwing the same thing at you constantly.
Right.
But in this one, it just felt like, and again, maybe it was just, you know, you have that mindset of Uncharted is this action-packed, like, hero-type movie slash video game. That when I got into it, and I had heard, like, I'd watched a couple of reviews, and I had heard, hey, Uncharted 4, and again, I'm talking about chapters, not just, like, the first, you know, first thing you do, overall was a slower start. Slower
well, let's talk
pace.
About that start, then. If I remember correctly, and it is kind of a long game, so I might be misremembering the exact way it opens, but doesn't it open in the boat with Nate and Sam? Isn't that the opening scene?
It does start out with like kind of an action scene where you're
it's like a boat chase and you're shooting bad guys and they're trying to ram you and it gets the waves are getting huge and the storm's coming in and then at the end of that sequence, you know, you've been knocked off the boat, you get back in the boat, and then the giant flaming boat comes out of nowhere, smashes you and throws you in the water, and then it goes dark.
Yep.
And that's the opening scene. And you're shooting, you're steering the boat, like you're participating as the gamer in that whole
Were
opening
Were you shooting? Because I didn't shoot. Maybe that was my problem.
Maybe that's why you didn't like it. You're like, why? You can't even shoot. Yeah, no, at the beginning, Sam is driving the boat, and you are ducking and covering and shooting the guys.
Was I?
Yeah.
Oh, maybe that is it.
It kind of reminded me of the opening for the first Uncharted. I'm pretty sure starts a similar way in the boat, and you're shooting guys that are jumping on your boat. But
Yeah.
Okay, so that's how it opens, but let's back up a little bit. How overall did you feel like the game ran? Did you notice any notable glitches? That's usually a big deal these days with these big AAA games that come out. Everything from The Witcher 3, which we both loved, to games like even Metal Gear Solid, to the Far Cry games. Assassin's Creed, of course, is notorious for having some glitches, at least at launch. Did you notice anything that was notable that's worth mentioning, or do you feel like the game ran pretty smoothly?
I think the game ran phenomenally. I can't even think of... Maybe there was one time, and I actually only kind of remember it because it happened one time, where I think it kind of froze for, like, a millisecond.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, that was weird. But it never did it again.
I had one where I was climbing, and his arm got kind of stuck, but his body moved, and so he looked stretchy just for, like, a minute, and then the game kind of course-corrected itself. It's almost like that was a recognized bug, and they had a workaround if it happened, and it just took a second for it to kick in. But other than that, I mean, I can't... There's a few clipping moments, you know, like arms and legs breaking through obstacles where they shouldn't, or... I don't know, sometimes the AI wasn't the smartest... Like, they should totally have seen that that was a human head peeking over the edge of that cliff or whatever. There's a few of those that are just in every single video game ever made, but none of those were really glitches. It was just, you know, standard video game stuff. So I couldn't think of one thing where I thought this game is a little broken in this area. Not at all.
Yeah, I mean, as far as performance, I thought it ran really, really well. We talked about it in the last podcast. One of the things that you and I both loved was the fact that, and we're going to talk about it in a second, but the game is ridiculously beautiful.
Yeah, go ahead and talk about that. Go ahead and talk about how pretty it is, yeah.
It goes from, it's like seamless how it can go from a cutscene to action, like you controlling the character, and nothing feels like it changes at all. And for it to be able to do that, to be that high level, and again, I'm going to restate this. I said this last week, but I'm going to say it again since we're in the actual spoiler cast. The game is probably the best-looking game I've ever seen.
Yep, same here. On any console or PC so far in my life.
Exactly.
Yeah. Agreed.
So for it to be that good-looking, and then I think it's locked at 30 frames per second. I never had any glitching as far as, oh, that clearly dropped there because
or stutter,
of
right.
that. Yeah, there was no stuttering, mm-hmm. you know, because, oh, there was that explosion while 5 guys were running through and the game can't handle it.
Yeah.
There was none of that.
You know, one moment that I can think of that kind of fits with what you just described is when it's the Scotland chapter, and so you're climbing through those dark caves in Scotland, and and Drake and Sam are climbing through this wall, and all of a sudden they stop because they hear something, and the camera zooms in through this crack in the wall, and it shows a conversation between two new characters we'll discuss in a minute, Rafe and Nadine, and they're chatting, and they're looking at a map, and then it zooms back out when their conversation's over, and it stays zoomed in on Nate and Sam's faces as they're quietly whispering what to do next. And, of course, the visuals are stunning. It looks like two real human being faces talking to each other with real concern, real expressions, real sweat on their faces as they're climbing. And then Sam says something to the effect of, all right, let's keep going. And it just zooms out just a little bit, and then you control it again. Like, there's something about that scene that just looked and felt like the highest quality cut scene that I've ever seen. And it didn't stop and load to the gameplay mode. It just simply gave you control of the character when they were done talking. And that exactly illustrates what you're talking about, where it's the seamless transition from moment to moment. It's just absolutely stunning.
Yeah, it's phenomenal. I mean, when I first started playing it, I remember I started taking screenshots like right away.
Yeah.
And the main reason why I did it is I was just blown away by like the particle effects, the vistas. Like I like when I'm playing a beautiful game like this, you know, like Uncharted or even The Witcher or Dragon Age. I like those type of settings where you're out in nature and you're on maybe a mountainside. I like to like walk to the edge of a cliff.
Yeah.
And then like set the camera up where I'm facing the camera, my character's facing the camera. And then it gets like a picture of the background, which might be a mountain or the sky or a river in the background or a waterfall or something like that.
You get the sun at the right angle. Yeah.
Yeah. And there was just so many, just in the beginning, so many moments where I was like,
How many screenshots do you think you took from start to finish, if you had to guess?
I ended up, after I took the initial like 7 or 8 that I shared on like my first Uncharted post in our group, and then the feedback was, please stop basically taking pics because I'm not playing the game right now.
At least for a little while, right, right.
Yeah, I actually just stopped. I mean, at the very end of the game, I started taking some shots when it was almost like I forgot about it, and so I just got so into the game that I forgot to take pics, and then as I knew I was getting close to the end, I was like, well, this is a cool shot.
Did you use photo mode at all? They have that option you could turn on photo mode.
No, I used it when I played The Last of Us because I had it in that for the remaster version.
Yep.
And I didn't bother using it here. I know it's something cool, but
it is. Like, I used it whenever I thought to use it. Like, I was kind of like you. I forgot for large chunks of the game about taking screenshots, but then when I did remember, I would turn on photo mode, and then maybe right as Nate was making a jump, you know, to grab onto a ledge, or a big explosion happened, or there was a firefight, I would just kind of pause and try to get a cool angle on the area. And there were certain sections of the game that I probably stopped too many times. I kept interrupting the flow of the game just because, I mean, it was so aesthetically pleasing, I had to capture the moment, whatever it was, whether I was climbing and it was a slow moment, or whether it was a big battle, or some of those big explosive kind of quick time action sequences where you're sliding and you have to jump and use your grapple hook. There's a bunch of those types of moments. I would just pause it when I saw an opportunity and try to get a quick picture. But yeah, I totally agree. You said particle effects. They were absolutely stunning. I think it's got to be the kind of thing that other games are looking at and trying to figure out how they did it. Not only the lighting, we always talk about lighting in games, but the lighting in this in particular, the way it angled off of each object. I think of a scene in particular when Nate and Elena are walking down the hallway in Avery's mansion. It's towards the last third of the game or so. And they're getting ready to walk into that room. Remember they walk to that big table and all the pirates are dead around the table?
Mm-hmm.
There's a hallway before they get into that room, and it's really dark, but there's light at the very opposite end of the hallway coming in, and it's shining and shimmering off the walls and the floor. There's like a dampness to that hallway. And Elena's reading something to you as you walk, and I just like froze as I'm watching that. I didn't realize I was supposed to walk with her, and I just had Nate just standing there while she walked way ahead. I was like, this looks so amazing. So that the lighting, and not only the lighting, but the combination of how they use the shading and the, it doesn't just needlessly glisten off of everything, but when it does, it really pops. And the way the sunlight breaks through the trees. And then you mentioned like the vistas and the views, the draw distance they have is amazing. I mean, it's almost like something you'd see in a Skyrim or a Witcher 3, where it's breathtaking in terms of how big it is, and yet it's crystal clear. Like, you're looking at a real view from the top of a real mountain. Like, it really does. Your eyesight goes incredibly far, especially in that one sequence when you keep getting out of your Jeep to go clear areas of bad guys. There's a couple things you can climb and look out real long distances, and it's broad daylight, and it just looks amazing. So, what about the characters, though? Tell me about the character design. What do you think about the way Naughty Dog designed their characters? The way they look, the way they talk, the way their eyes moved. Did that jump out at you at all?
I thought Sam Drake was annoying looking, because I thought he had terrible hair. So that made me hate the entire game.
He kind of has a sleazy look about him, doesn't he? With that slicked back hair that's kind of dried out. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, that was the frustrating part is let's go ahead and transition us into characters and settings and stuff like that.
Sure.
But to talk about Sam first, Nathan Drake has amazing hair, and he's a good-looking guy. Like, I've been attracted to him since the very first Uncharted.
Yeah, full disclosure.
So, when they introduced Sam, and you knew he was the brother, in the trailers and stuff, I was immediately disappointed. Especially since his voice actor is actually a good-looking guy in real life as well.
No, but I kind of like... Did you feel like they looked alike, though? I thought they looked alike in some ways. Like, they could be real brothers, but they just ended up having different features in some ways.
I mean, they do. I mean, they do look like they're brothers, and the game does a really good job, and we're going to talk about that now, of, like, establishing them as brothers and really close.
Uh-huh.
So physically, they look like brothers, but they just look so, like, I don't know, his hair really bothered me. And it wasn't just, oh, he had a bad haircut. It was like he had almost like a receding hairline.
Yeah.
And then his hair was much longer than Nathan's, and he just looked, he almost looked like a trailer trash old man. That was the other thing that bothered me. Yeah,
you know what it was? He looked too much like Trevor from Grand Theft Auto.
Exactly, and what I was going to say.
I wonder
he
if we would have
dressed like him.
If we hadn't had such a recent experience with such a powerful and memorable character like Trevor, maybe we wouldn't have thought twice about Sam's look. But I'm not disagreeing with what you say, although I did like the way he looked overall. But I can't really disagree with anything you're saying about his hair didn't look great, and he looked a little trashy, but, I mean, keep in mind, he was in prison for a long time.
He looked like a hard, like, the hard prison type.
Well, and he was stuck behind the times. I mean, think about that pompadour receding hairline look he had. Maybe that wasn't that bad of a look 15 years ago when he went in, you know? But then he came out, and life has changed, but he's still kind of stuck in whatever he was in before. And he's so focused on getting to the next adventure, the next treasure, he doesn't care about his hairdo. But I see what you're saying. He definitely didn't have that dashing look that Nathan's had throughout the years.
Yeah, and he looked like he was wearing, like, Lee jeans, and he was always smoking.
Did you feel like they were setting him up to either be a villain or become a villain-type character with the way that he looked? Did you feel like they were setting him up to maybe not be a hero?
I think the even the voice acting, like the way it's Troy, right?
Troy Baker, yeah.
You know how
he
kind of
gave him like
names.
City talk, almost like Boston or something like something New England-y. Yeah,
he did a good job of making him sound rough and not very trustworthy. Like, I definitely think Naughty Dog's goal was for you to believe at some point Sam was going to betray Nathan, that he was that shady of a person.
Or at least, like, as it turned out, not be completely honest with him about something. He kind of knew something was coming, right.
Which, they had a nice little twist with him and what he was doing, or his whole motivation. But overall, I definitely thought he was going to be a little bit worse than what he ended up being.
Well, they...
And especially in the beginning of the game, when Sam, Nate and
Rafe.
And no, not Rafe. Oh. Soli.
Oh, Stash. Stash, yeah.
I think there's a part in the game, and I could be remembering wrong, but I keyed in on it, when they're all three, like, talking, and it's like when Stash first sees Sam, and it's like they, like, zoom in on Soli making, like, this face towards Sam.
Yeah.
While Nathan's not looking like, I don't trust
you. Oh, yeah. There's clearly a history there. Yep.
Yeah, I know who you are, and I know you're going to wrong Nate, and I'm going to protect Nate.
Well, let's pause real quick like right there. That's an amazing point. I actually forgot about the Sully and Sam interaction, because later in the game and post-game, we know that Sully and Sam actually become good friends and partners. Yeah. And so, by the way, if you're listening to this still and you haven't played the game, what's wrong with you? You're ruining the whole game for yourself. Anyway, think about in Uncharted 3 when we first get to play as a young Nathan Drake. And who does he meet when he's a young preteen kid? It's Sully, right? And he tries to rob Sully, and then Sully ends up partnering with him. He likes him, and they end up training together, and he kind of mentors him. And then they become partners as Nate gets older. Intertwined with that, now that we see flashbacks from Uncharted 4, if you piece together the history a little bit, you know that he escaped the orphanage with his brother Sam, and that's how they introduce us a little bit to Sam, is he's the older brother who helps him escape the orphanage, but he's very, very loyal, and he's doing it because he wants his younger brother Nate to get the journals from their mom. And so it's really interesting, his motivations there. So to me, it endeared me to Sam pretty early on. He's a protector, he's a teacher, but he loves his brother like more than anything. So I loved that about Sam early on. And somewhere between that and when they're in prison, he meets Sully. So when they're in prison, they're young adults. And so by that point, Nate already knows him. So I'm wondering if, and they don't explain this, I wonder if something along the line with Nate and Sam pursuing this Avery treasure, Sully was disapproving in the background, or maybe even had direct conflict with Sam. I don't know if they had history, but that was really interesting that they cued us into, yeah, there's some kind of tension there. Maybe it's just, you know, two people who want to play that older brother or maybe even father role to Nate, and they're competing for that mentor role to him. I'm not sure what it is, but that was interesting. I thought that was cool.
Yeah, and my take from when they, and they did a great job. Again, I'm not a, let me try to be careful on how I state this. I get bored pretty easily. Mm-hmm. Like if you have like these slow parts that are not really emotional, or there's no plot twist.
Gotta have that pot.
So when you gotta have that plot twist. I mean, you are gonna be in Colorado.
I'm moving to Colorado. Yeah. haven't heard that joke yet.
Yeah, I know. So basically, one of the things that I took away from the slow part where your kids in the orphanage, where it's just basically you're doing a lot of jumping around and going roof to roof.
Yeah.
One of the things I took away from it is kind of the opposite feel, not the opposite of what you feel, but I just looked at it from a different perspective. I looked at it from Nate's point of view, and that was, I watched how he interacted with Sam, and Sam was like everything to him.
Yeah.
Like he trusted him fully. Mm-hmm. And then you looked at it from the viewpoint where you're more focused on Sam being a protector. Like he, like Nate was everything to him. Like there was that bond there that these two kids had a rough life.
Totally.
They lost their parents. I don't know. You can correct me on this. What happened to their dad?
I think
he just a piece of crap, or did he
don't
die?
I don't know if the dad was ever referenced. Maybe in Uncharted 3 in that background they mention him, but yeah, for the most part they just dig into the mom's history in this game.
Some of the references were basically like dad was a piece of crap because he sold mom's stuff. So it came across to me, and maybe they said it, that they don't like their dad now. Mm. Whether he's alive or not, or died a long time ago, I don't know. But from that part of the game, I really keen in on basically Nate's love for Sam. And the reason I'm bringing this up is because when Sam comes back into Nate's life, there's that, and we're going to talk about that, but we can swing into it now.
Yeah, go ahead.
Nate's got basically this normal life.
Right.
He's married to Blondie, and he's gotten away from, well, really the thing that he loved.
Yeah, his adventures are over. Uncharted 1, 2, 3, Golden Abyss, they're all done, and he is now working Joe.
He's retired.
Joe. Yeah, he's a working Joe.
He's retired from that, because the goal is, obviously, for them to start a family, start their lives, and doing this type of stuff, even though we all know Nathan Drake cannot die. they, at least, are pretending in the game that he could die. So yeah. They're basically saying, we can't live this life anymore. We've got to protect our lives and start our family. So Sam comes back into Nate's life. And because they've had these previous scenes where you had the prison break, and then you've had the, I believe the orphanage part happened before what I'm talking about now, you've been introduced to adult Sam and adult Nate and young Sam and young Nate, and you've established, and Naughty Dog did a great job with this, a huge relationship there.
Yep.
The importance and the value that these two kids and adults have for each other.
Yeah.
These two brothers, I should say.
And it's reflected in the prison scene and the reunion scene that follows, yeah.
Yeah. And so when Sam comes back, and we're skipping here a little bit, so I'll jump back just one second and explain. In the prison scene, which happens real, real early in the game, Sam...
I think it's Rafe, right after the orphanage scene.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sam, Rafe, and Nathan are trying to escape. Rafe and Nathan escape. Sam gets shot and falls to his death.
Yeah.
So Nathan thinks he's dead. That's when Sam comes back, knocks on the door while Nate's at work. Nate's like, go away. Doesn't know who's there. Keeps knocking. Finally answers the door. And there's his brother.
Right.
And they have a long conversation. They start talking. And as you watch them talk, and they skip through it to make it seem like, hey, they've been talking all night.
Yeah, it kind of pans up when it's dark and pans back down when the sun's up. Yeah.
Yeah, it's sharing stories and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
But the little bit you do see him talk, there's this tone where Sam is serious. It's like he's there for business.
Yeah, there's something that he's waiting to say. You can tell the whole time.
Yeah.
Yep. Yep.
And Nate's like, oh my gosh, the most important person in my life is here.
Yeah.
You know, like
the
like
person
my
who, when
brother.
They died, I thought they died. It hurt me so deeply, I couldn't even tell anyone about him because I couldn't even talk about it. And that, to me, that was a great way to fill in the gap of the previous four games that we've all been Nathan Drake. We've had a million conversations with him and others and his now wife, Elena, and his best buddy, Sully. He's never talked about Sam. Even Sully's never talked about Sam in the past. And I guess it makes sense the way they explain to us what Nate thinks happens to Sam. It hurts him so deeply. It's just something he's never going to talk about.
Yeah. So it was, they did a great job establishing that relationship.
They did.
Showing that Nate was in love with his brother. Not saying Sam wasn't in love with his. I just think Sam was a little bit, as he got, became an adult, he was
a little
bit harder.
Well, he idolized his older brother. Right. Right.
Yeah. And when they were younger, they did a good job of showing how much Nate meant to Sam. So when they did that, they did a good job establishing that relationship, and then it kind of makes sense because they've set this all up that Sam requesting Nate to get back into his old life. I need you to do this one last job to save my life.
Well, when we've seen enough movies and shows to kind of, I saw where that was going as soon as he got real serious and was like, listen, man, here's what's going on. I was like, oh, he got in trouble in prison and now he needs help to find or rob somebody. Like, I kind of knew, I didn't know what it was going to be, but I immediately pieced together, oh, he's in trouble with someone super dangerous and Nate, that's what's going to force Nate back in. So I saw that coming, but I liked it. It's not the most original of, you know, core motivations. Like, we've seen it before, but I liked it and it made sense for Nate's character. Because we were just coming off of a scene where he and Elena are talking about this opportunity that he has to go and do this quasi-illegal job out in the ocean, and he's not supposed to do it. And he's like, you know what? No, I'm not going to do that. That's not what I do anymore. That's not who I am anymore. Not going to. So he turns that down, and you could tell he's a man of honor. He made a commitment, and he's turned a page away from that kind of, you know, anti-hero thief type guy, and he's a committed husband, and he's ready to kind of hang it up. And so I liked that they gave him a motivation that was on a much more personal level. He didn't really want to, but he had to get back in. And so I liked that. Like you said, not only the brother connection, but also the need that his brother shared with them that, hey, here's what's going on and why I need your help. It gave us, the gamer, a good feeling about, okay, Nate's still the good guy, still the hero. And even though he decides to lie to Elena to go, even though he decides to go back against what he said he wasn't going to do, he he did it for what I thought was a good reason, even if his decisions weren't always the best. And that was to help his brother. And his brother explains his predicament in an interesting way. He starts to talk, and then it does a flashback of him in prison meeting this drug lord who he's roomed up with. And then you get to play the whole escape sequence as the drug lord's guards and minions, whatever, they all come busting in and bust them both out of jail. And that's the first time in the game that we really get a chance to experience a bunch of gunplay and a bunch of violence. Most of the game up to that point had been a lot of climbing and a lot of talking. And so really that prison escape sequence that doesn't even involve Nate is the first time we get to do that. And then, of course, we see that Sam is now being forced to go find this treasure he's been bragging about in prison for all these years. And now he needs Nate's help to find it or he's going to get killed. And so that's the setup. And I really liked that, even though we find out later that's certainly not the whole story. But I like that setup to get things going.
And one of the things Naughty Dog does is they do a quality job of taking stuff that, to be honest, we've all seen before.
Mm-hmm.
Even like The Last of Us, I'm not going to spoil it or anything, yeah, but
this is not
The Last of Us really isn't that original. There's been plenty of books and movies that have done similar stuff to The Last of Us.
Mm-hmm.
And I wouldn't even say even how it ended or any of that stuff was really like, oh my gosh, I didn't see that happening. They don't write the most original things. It's how they do
it's
it.
It's just so good how, the way they do it, yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. Like how they get you to care for these characters that when they do something that might be semi-predictable, I'm not going to say everything they do is predictable. I'm not that arrogant, but there are some things that I could call, you know, and I was like, oh, this is obvious. Yep. Sam's not legit.
And you could tell that Rafe was going to come back into the picture, too. Like, after that prison sequence, and I was like, wow, this guy's violent. He just stabbed that guard for no reason, and he convinced Nate to leave his brother. He's probably dead. Let's get out of here. And I was like, this guy's going to come back into the fray somehow. He seemed too significant. So you can see some of their story beats coming, but it doesn't mean it's bad, like you said. Like, even if you can see the way they're headed with some storylines, it can still be really effective the way they do it.
And I thought Rafe was a decent character for a villain, but I felt like they didn't show him and even Nadine enough. Like, right. They're in the game.
Not very much, though.
But they're not in it enough to... Here's the thing. And games have gotten really good with this, and even movies and shows. Everything old school used to be, you're the good guy, the person that's against you is the bad guy, there's no in-between. Everything you're doing's for good, everything they're doing's for bad.
Yeah.
And one of the things games and media has gotten way better at doing is giving bad guys an actual purpose and a reason besides, I'm just evil.
Yeah.
A lot of times, games have done a good job of, hey, I'm doing this because of what I perceive to be a really good reason.
Right.
And one thing that I didn't feel like Naughty Dog did a really good job. They didn't do an extremely good job with Rafe, in my opinion. I felt like his reasoning behind everything he was doing was kind of lame, in my opinion.
He was underdeveloped, and the problem was that he was off to such a promising start with the violent scene in the prison. And
he's really well acted.
Very well acted. Oh,
I don't know who the guy is. I feel like I know him. Yeah. So maybe if you tell me a show or something he was in, I can look it up.
Oh yeah, he was great. I totally agree with that.
But I feel like I've seen him before.
But there's a scene at the auction. It's your first real like mission in the game, and it's you and Sam and Sully teamed up to steal this this crucifix, or not really crucifix, but what looks like a crucifix item from this auction. And that's where you first bump into Nadine, and then you see Rafe again for the first time. And his little verbal, but violently verbal outburst at Sully gave me like, ooh, this guy's gonna be a charismatic, scary villain. Like, he can't control his temper. He's very aggressive, and I'm going to like him as a villain. But then he disappears for a long time. And then he pops back up, and he's really mad about stuff, and he disappears for a long time. And then he pops back up towards the end, and then, of course, at the very end. So I don't remember seeing him more than maybe four or five times in a significant way throughout the game, which by the time you get to that final battle, and we'll talk about this at the end, or we got about 10 minutes, 15 minutes left. At the very end, we'll discuss the final battle scene, but it didn't give that final battle as much weight because of exactly what you just said. They did not develop him enough for me to really truly care about my battle against him. But I'm okay that they sacrificed that in lieu of building up the brother relationship. It still was just a little bit of a... There's a little bit of a drawback that the villains weren't fully realized. And I agree with you completely on that. They weren't quite there.
Oh, I do know who he is.
What's his name?
The voice actor for Rafe was Warren Cole.
Okay.
I don't know if you know him, but he was in the Avengers. Let's see. Anyways, I won't go into it too long. Because he's not like a big actor, but I definitely recognize him. And he was really good.
Well, here's my summary of Nadine, speaking of Nadine. So Nadine is, she's kind of the muscle for Rafe. Rafe is the brains and the money behind the project to get this treasure.
I'd say more money than brains.
Money than brains. I agree with that. And Nadine is the muscle behind that. She is just this absolute beast when it comes to hand-to-hand combat, and she commands a bunch of really strong mercenary soldiers. So Nadine's... In my opinion, the best way to describe her is she's terrifying. I mean, right from the outset, you can see she's going to be a dangerous foe. And she beats the crap out of Nate at the very beginning of the game of that auction. I mean, maybe I did that scene wrong, but I couldn't do anything. She beat the crap out of me, no matter what button I hit.
I think their point was to make you get beat up.
Okay, because I was like, am I doing this wrong? Because she's destroying me. And then she tosses you out the window and you barely survive. And it's awesome because... It's another reminder that, hey, Nate is good at a lot of things, but he certainly isn't some jujitsu MMA fighter. Like, he can hold his own, obviously, in so many battles, but when someone is truly a master at that kind of fighting, he's going to get his butt kicked. So I liked that. I liked her character in that way. I thought she was kind of intimidating. But again, the few times she's there, she shows up, she makes angry face and starts punching, and then she disappears. Mm-hmm. And then she shows up and she makes angry face and starts punching. And it's like, well... By the last time you encounter her, you know what to expect. And I was a little disappointed with the lack of real character for her. And then, of course, the lack of any kind of real true ending to her story. And maybe there's more that Naughty Dog is going to reveal about her at some point.
Yeah, she might be a part of the DLC or something like that.
Yeah, she might be. She might be. So, okay, let's back up just a little bit here. Tell me what you thought about the combat and the movement. That's such a big part of this game. As you go from area to area, you're shooting bad guys, and now they've added a few other mechanics to the game. What was your overall thoughts, whether or not you want to get too specific, it's up to you, overall thoughts on the combat and movement in the game?
Let's make this quick, because I think the most important thing is, you know, the story and stuff. I would say, and it's pretty easy to make this quick, Uncharted 4 plays almost exactly like Uncharted 3. Now, there are a few extra gimmicks and cool little things that kind of add a little bit of a twist to everything. As far as you have your, what is it, the climbing rope?
Yeah, the grapple.
So that made, some of the areas, like, I know in past Uncharted games, you pretty much knew where you were going at all times. Like, you knew, oh, I've got to climb here, and then
the biggest choice
to
make is what
to
take cover behind when the shooting starts.
Yeah, right. Yeah. With this, there was, and this in the beginning, definitely, and maybe this was part of why I struggled to get into the game, there was a lot of platforming and climbing, and there were several parts where I was just standing on a cliff going, I don't even know where I'm supposed to go. And I was getting pissed because I would just, like, jump thinking I knew where I was supposed to go.
Yeah, I had
and
a few dumb moments like that, too, yeah. But then, fortunately, you're typically with a partner of some kind, Sam or Elena or Sully or somebody. And after a few short minutes, if the game doesn't give you a hint, then that character will walk over and be like, hey, check this out. And then, more. I had a few of those moments where I was like, don't know where to go. I'm just going to jump. Nope, that wasn't it. I guess I'll try again. But here's, I agree with you for the most part. The actual shooting itself wasn't that much better than 3. Although I think you and I talked about this last week or the week before. There certainly are little tweaks here and there since I just played 3 recently. It does feel a little sharper. The guns feel a little stronger. So I like that.
A little bit more weight.
But to me, the biggest addition, and it helped me enjoy the game a lot more, was the addition of stealth. And so especially as you get to that middle and the last little chunk of the game, when you have the opportunity along those cliffside villages, in some ways to sneak completely past entire platoons of enemy soldiers, or you could go little by little and choke them out in the high grass and hide their bodies. And I loved that addition to the Uncharted games because it wasn't simply shoot the first guy and then hide in cover till you can shoot the next guy, and then the big guy will walk close and then you got to throw a grenade at him. It wasn't just that every time, and I really liked that. And then they did some creative things with the grapple hook, but for the most part that was just there as another tool you could use, but they had to really set it up for you to use it. It wasn't like the Assassin's Creed grapple where they give it to you and then they also create grapple hooks virtually on every corner of every structure in the entire city of London. This was much more, oh, it has to be a log with this white band wrapped around it, and then you can grapple to that. For the most part, that's what it was. So it was cool. I liked the Jeep and winch sections where you drive around the Jeep and you got to get through certain portions.
That was when I really fell in love with the game.
Yeah, I thought that was really cool.
When they put me in the Jeep, I was like, oh, I love this.
Yeah, the Jeep was fun. I think you mentioned last week that the game feels open even when it's not truly open world. And driving around with that Jeep, I thought felt a little bit more open. Like, I can go...
Yeah, there's plenty of places to explore and go.
Yeah, you're going from point A to point B, but there are plenty of spots that I skipped for the sake of getting to the next point in the story. But very, very, very cool the way they did that. Here's the one knock against the game, other than a few of the other little things we've mentioned already. Like, the villains could have been more developed. But here's another little knock on the gameplay. I thought that the climbing sections and the acrobat sections were really clever and very cool sometimes, but they were really overdone. There were entire rooms in some of these caverns and some of these cliff sides that you're going through, these areas you're going through, that I'm like, you could have cut that whole thing out and trimmed out a solid 20 minutes of making me follow these little white handholds across this mountain face. Like, I didn't need that. But it didn't ruin it, but it certainly, those little moments felt a little drawn out. I didn't think the story felt drawn out at all. I thought the story was perfectly paced. I just thought certain gameplay sections were a little drawn out. That was my only knock.
I would agree. Like I said, the only thing that... There's only two things that I can think of off the top of my head right now that I would knock the game for, and that would be too much climbing and all that stuff. Again, didn't run it. I wouldn't drop the game and be like, if I was a professional reviewer, I wouldn't be like dropping it 1 point. No, it's nothing like that. But also, it would be what we talked about earlier, and that's I felt like Rafe and Nadine were great characters that were underdeveloped, and the only thing that you really know about, like, Nadine is, oh, she likes money.
Yeah.
So if you pay her, she's on your team.
But she's super loyal to whoever pays her first, which is
kind of
weird.
Exactly, yeah. And that was kind of my issue, is, like, you would think, and not that I'd want it to be cliche, like, oh, Nadine and Rafe are lovers. But I would have liked to, like, at least... seeing Nadine show a little emotion towards somebody.
I thought, like, she was going to kind of change teams as she realized Rafe's just kind of out for this weird competitive revenge against the Drake brothers. Like, that's what I thought.
And they even showed, like, earlier in the game that Nadine didn't fully respect Rafe because she kind of thought he was dumb. Like, after the, and we'll talk about this now, one of the cooler parts of the game, and this is kind of early on, is the part where you bust into a party, you break into a party, Sully gets you into a party, so you get to work with Sully,
the auction.
You've got Sam, and you got Nathan at an auction party, and Rafe is there, and his whole plan was basically to buy this artifact, and Sam's goal is to steal it.
Right.
Now, later, Nadine drops a hint that, you know, first of all, she's pissed off that he did that. She was like, we should have just stole it like they did. But then she drops the line, unless your whole point was to draw Nate out. And then that was kind of like your hint that, because of the way Rafe looks at the camera, is that, well, the whole reason I'm doing this is because I'm jealous or envious of Nate.
Well, and she mentions that you need him to do this. So maybe, and I picked up right there... instead of jealousy, which I picked up on later, I picked up more that he needed Nate to solve this treasure hunt. That's kind of what I thought.
No, you're right. You're remembering it right. That is basically what she says.
Okay.
Is that, yeah, you need it.
But there was something maybe personal there, too, it turns out.
Yeah, and so I was, like, a little... It was just kind of overall disappointing. Like, I would have liked if Rafe had a legit reason besides, like, something like a 12-year-old boy might be like, well, I've had everything handed to me, and I just wanted to get something for myself, even though really you're just using money to get that thing for yourself. And I just really felt like that it would have been cooler if there would have been something there.
Well, here's
like
an
some
idea.
Some reason just why he hates Nate.
Tell me what you think about
reason.
This. What if in that prison escape sequence, Nate had been the only one to escape, and Rafe and Sam were stuck in prison? And so then Rafe
yeah,
hates
like
Nate.
Something. Yeah, yeah. Exactly. Yeah. Like that Sam obviously could forgive Nate because they're brothers.
Right.
But Rafe maybe pretends like he's so cool with Nate, but he was really bitter because he got left behind.
Yep.
Or something along those
And they could have made
lines.
It really dramatic and very Naughty Dog style, maybe in a moment that they set up in the game where you're all escaping, and Nate only has time to grab one hand of one of them to lift him up, and he grabs his brother. Rafe gets caught and then hates him. And then, of course, later the brother gets shot and falls anyway. So then it still could have all played out like we thought. You know, him thinking his brother was dead, knowing Rafe was captured, and then realizing later Rafe is out, and he super hates me, and my brother's alive. Yeah. And yeah, that could have been really interesting. But
wow, we should have wrote this game.
That would have been actually really cool, because then it would have given Rafe this understandable rage that I would have been like, oh, he's mad and for good reason. Uh-oh, you know? So I that would have been interesting. Well, let's talk about the actual twist, though. When you discover that there was no drug lord and Sam got out of jail because Rafe discovered he was still alive and in there, and he wanted Sam's help to find Avery's treasure, so he busted him out. What did you think about that? Did that affect the way you looked at Sam as a character at all?
I mean, it was kind of, that was part of the game that was predictable.
Okay, you saw that like coming. I didn't really see that coming.
I mean, I'm not saying I saw that like I knew for sure the drug dealer never existed or he was dead or anything like that.
Oh, you mean like the Sam problem was going to come
out
at
some point. Sam not being straightforward and telling the truth.
Okay, that's okay. Good call.
Was a little bit more predictable. So when that came out, not saying it didn't have an impact, it just wasn't as strong. Like, I kind of was just sitting there going, yeah, I already knew you were shady. Like, well, if they could have done it, and I get, we already discussed this, so I understand they had to make Sam kind of a little bit harder edge because, again, he'd been in jail for 15 years.
Right.
But it would have been cool if they would have shown Sam as, like, I don't know, made him more of like almost like a Nate Drake, where he was just this all around great guy. And if they could have pulled that off, then maybe they would have gotten into my head that there's no way this guy would ever lie to his brother.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Then
and
you
if
would
they
have bought
have,
it. Okay.
Exactly. Then I could have bought it, and then when that scene came, I could have been like, you prick. Like,
you know
really?
What it was? And that's a great point. I don't think they tricked most of us. We all kind of, I think most people knew, like, of all the clues we just talked about, everyone knew that something was going on with Sam. Something not quite right was there with Sam.
And again, maybe Naughty Dog was sitting there going, guys, we're not trying to trick you.
But
like,
I didn't think it was going to be that the drug lord didn't exist, because they actually have you play that escape sequence, which is a great way to convince you, the player, that really happened.
So maybe they were trying to get you a twist, but it wasn't that big of a twist.
That was the closest thing to a twist, I thought. Well, here's another twist that didn't happen, so to me it was kind of surprising. Let's talk about that big death that never happened for any of the main characters. Did you expect someone to die, and who was it? Who did you, like, as the game unfolded, as you got towards the final chapters, and you know that part at the end where the four main characters are escaping? You finally rescued Sam because he was captured by Rafe and his crew, and so Elena and Sully help you rescue Sam, and you're going to escape the city, and then you get separated from him while you're traversing the city, and Sam just kind of looks back where the treasure is and says, I'm sorry, and he heads back in to get the treasure. Did you have a thought, as the other three decide to go after him, did a thought cross your mind that someone's going to die here?
I mean, I was, part of me, and you know from talking games with me, I like people to die. That's probably why I love Game of Thrones. I like for good people that we love to perish.
Because it means something, yeah.
Yeah, but
and also because you're evil. That too. That's the...
Here's, you know, and this could have been, again, this could have been, and I don't want to overthink it, but maybe this is what Naughty Dog's intent was. I think they wanted, think about it, let's try to piece it together. First of all, they titled the game A Thief's End. Now, obviously that could have multiple meanings. It could mean Nathan Drake's career is over, like he's no longer a thief.
Which is what it ended up being, yeah.
Yeah, or it could just been, hey, we were just talking about Avery, that's all we were talking about. You know, he was a thief,
yeah,
and his life came to an end. Or Sam, or it could have been
Sully.
Yeah, it could have been Sully.
That's who I thought it might have been. Yeah.
So they give you this title, which then for a lot of people, I know, almost anybody who's an Uncharted fan, the first reaction was somebody's gonna die, and most people were saying Nate's gonna die. Now. I'm just speaking off their first reaction. Then a lot of people thought about it. They're like, no, no, no. I own Sony, right? You know, I'm Kaz. I'm the CEO. Do I kill
Big
off
fan.
Nathan
Big
Drake?
Big fan, Kaz. I love your work.
Hey, no problem. Do I kill off the biggest gaming character I have for my billion-dollar corporation?
Okay.
That's no, option one. No, no, you can't. You can't. So that's why people are like, "Well, they're gonna kill they're gonna kill Nathan Drake." And then from a business side, they're like, "No, they can't. Even if they're not going to make another game with Nathan Drake, somebody else is."
Sony I thought they and were PlayStation gonna kill him when he got separated from Elena and Sully. They had to push that card up to the wall, and only Nate got over. And they had a very key moment where Sully said something to him, and then Elena said something about taking turns doing dishes or whatever. And it was like this really sweet moment of please come back is what she's saying, basically. And that, to me, was classic foreshadowing in many movies and shows I've watched. Like, oh, he's going to die. Or at least...
Oh, see, I never felt that way.
So I had a brief moment where... A brief moment where I thought that, and I know I cut you off, I'm sorry, but I wanted to share one other moment that I thought someone was going to die for sure. Is you get into that final boat. You're in Avery's boat. You've walked through all the treasure. There it all is. Holy crap, there it is. And there's Rafe, and there's your brother, and Nadine just locked you in the room and took off. That's the last time you see Nadine. And it's you and Rafe about to fight, and you're sword fighting, which I didn't love that final boss battle, by the way. It was epic, but I just didn't like the gameplay part of it.
No, it was terribly done. We'll talk
about
it.
So you're sword fighting with Rafe, and I thought as that came towards an end, when Rafe knew he was going to lose, like when you finally beat him for the last time and you push him against the wall and he's like, all right, fine, you win. I thought he was going to, because Sam's laying there stuck under this beam, half awake. I thought he was going to stab Sam, like as he laid there. And I thought like it was going to be a dark turn where he takes something away from Nate right at the end.
Yeah, I thought Sam was going to die there. That would be the only person I thought might die.
Yeah. Well, and I did like the, and this is like the literature nerd in me coming out a little bit here. I really liked their callback at the end where it looked for sure nothing he could do about it. His brother was certainly dead or about to die. And that happened in the prison scene and he left. And it involved Rafe as well. And in this final scene, it involved Rafe and his brother. Like, it seemed like he had no other option but to leave. The beam was too heavy. They were going to burn to death. He had to go. But of course, in that moment, he thought outside the box, blew a hole in the wall, filled it with water, and they both escaped. So really cool way that they kind of paralleled the opening and closing interaction with the brothers. And both involved Sam almost dying, and then Nate just reacted differently in that final one. And I loved the way they did that, even though it came off of one of the worst boss battles. It was just a really dumb boss battle. Even though it looked cool and I liked how crazy evil Rafe was at the end, finally he was kind of an interesting villain right before he died. But it was just kind of a not very fun sequence. I kept failing a few of the sword blocks. I didn't like it. I just didn't like that sequence at the end.
No, I think what they should have done is they should have had like a slow part where he's kind of walking around with his hair all messed up, talking to you, and they didn't need to have any type of fight between them, just kind of talking. And then they should have like shut off the talking and been like, we're going to fight, and let you go into an actual sword battle like you would have like in The Witcher 3.
Yeah, or even just a fist fight. Like, it didn't even need to be this long,
drawn-out fight. Well, I mean, you could have had it where you could have, like, hit each other with, like, have you fight for a little bit with the swords, and then have it automatically, like, set up where once you hit Rafe three times, it goes to a cutscene where you guys knock the swords away. Right. Somehow. I don't know. They could figure it out. It's Naughty Dog.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then you start fist fighting, and then it ends. Like, you kill him or something. Yeah. But they just did a terrible job. Like, I failed multiple times, and that's not why I didn't like it. It just was... It was like, what are we doing?
Well, it interrupts
the
flow.
Now he's stabbing me?
It was so exciting. Those final sequences are so exciting, and then you have to keep resetting as he stabs and says, sorry, Nate, next time, or whatever. And it's like, well, okay, this... I know that didn't actually happen. Like, if they're going
to
kill... If they're
going to
kill Nate, it's not going to be because I suck. It's not going to be because I suck at this weird quick time action sequence they've involved me in. That's not why I'm going to lose. It's going to be because, well, whatever. It was just kind of silly. It was just kind of a silly way to end it. But that being said, there was a, we're getting close to the end of our time here. There was a very, I thought, kind of mushy, but really fun epilogue at the end. I thought it was a little, if you ever watched the Harry Potter movies, they close, and even Lord of the Rings, they close.
Before you do this, sorry. Before you do the epilogue.
Epilogue, okay.
I did just want to say one thing that I was trying to talk about with the Thief's End.
Yeah.
Is the only thing I was trying to, the picture I was trying to paint with Naughty Dog, and again, maybe I'm thinking too far into this, is that they were trying to paint a picture from the very beginning with the name of the game, and people starting to speculate that somebody was going to die, and a lot of people thought it was going to be Nathan Drake. Maybe their big twist was getting people to think somebody was going to die because of the name and how they were playing out the game, and then at the end, it be a typical Uncharted ending. And that was kind of like their subtle little twist that maybe nobody saw as a twist, but it really is, like, because there was a lot of people that were like, somebody's going to die. Sully's going to die. Sam's going to die. Again, you and I just talked about how we really did think Sam was going to die.
I really did, yeah. Yeah.
But the other thing, maybe they, and this is smart too, they were trying to go, hey, we want, let's gauge people. Let's see if people like Sam. Nate's career's done. Sam's is not. Mm-hmm. We can keep making Uncharted-type games, but now with a new voice actor who's really, really popular right now.
He is.
And he could be our new lead. Because they even let you use Sam, too, in the game. Just like I think at some point in The Last of Us, you're going to probably be able to play a Last of Us game with Ellie.
Well, let's talk about that in just a second, what we think the next steps will be. But I did, I did want to say that I thought Sam was going to die for sure when they made that turn at the end where he's like, sorry, I'm going back in. And then he knew his brother was going to follow him in. I thought for sure, for a moment, I thought Nate was going to die, like I shared. And I really thought after I was running towards him that, oh, you know what? There's going to be a moment where Sam dies saving Nate's life, because that's how he's going to redeem himself. And so I was convinced of it that, okay, Sam, what a great character and cool relationship with his brother Nate, and he's going to die here at the end. But I was totally wrong. I was totally wrong about that. But all right, let's talk real quick about the epilogue.
You're always wrong.
What's that?
You're always wrong.
I know I am. Thanks, buddy. In that epilogue, you get to play Crash Bandicoot again, which is a nice little Easter egg they throw in there a couple times. And then when you realize, when you finish that round, those three lives or whatever of Crash Bandicoot, you realize you're not Nate or Elena playing it like was earlier in the game. You were actually a, what looks to be a, maybe a 14 or 15 year old girl.
Mm-hmm.
And she gets up, you can walk around the house, you can look at pictures and realize that this is their daughter pretty quickly, but just by finding a photo album and seeing Nate and Elena's wedding album now includes new baby pictures and her growing up. And then you get to see a postcard on the kitchen counter of Sully and Sam out in their adventures, and some pictures of Sully with his granddaughter, but I guess she calls him Sully, but he's probably like a great uncle to her kind of a thing. And so you get to see like, oh, wow, this is Nate and Elena's house, and they've settled down, and they've got this daughter. They live on the beach. this house is amazing, and they have a second house, it looks like. It's just an insane setup, so you get to walk around and read and explore. The dog's following you. You get to see an aged Elena and Nate. I liked that a lot. And then you get to see the daughter discover, like, the treasure cabinet with all their adventures and journals in there, and they start to tell her the story as they all head out for a day on the water in their boat. What did you think about that epilogue? Was it a little bit too happy and mushy for you, or did you like the way that wrapped up Nathan Drake's story?
Well, I mean, when the game originally ended, before the epilogue, I thought it was satisfying. When the epilogue happened, I was like, oh, wow, this is pretty cool. So I didn't think it was cheesy. Again, the tone was, hey, we're going to kill somebody, to now they're giving you a typical Uncharted happy ending. But what I thought was really cool was, they were basically saying, we're done. Like, we've been saying we're done. Here's the epilogue to prove we're done.
We're done with, like, Nathan Drake, at least.
Yes, he is done.
He is done. But think about this. The daughter had the same level of knowledge, if not more, than a young Nathan Drake did. As he was a kid, exploring these houses and crawling around that old lady's house with his brother and knowing what artifacts were, this little girl seemed to have that same knowledge base. She was like, oh, this is an artifact from this thing. Oh, this is from that time period. She has that same, I think, adventure itch and knowledge. And so that takes me to my last little question for you, and that is, what do you think is the next step for the franchise? Will it involve the daughter somehow? Will Sam Drake, her uncle, be kind of her Sully for a game or a DLC pack? What do you think is the next step for the franchise? Is it DLC and done? Will there be another game? What do you think?
I mean, we obviously both agree that Uncharted in some way is not done. I think it's more likely that we'll probably get something with Sam Drake first, and then maybe they'll explore something with the daughter.
Okay.
But I don't know. I'm okay with never getting an Uncharted game again. Like, I really would love for them to just be like, no, dude, we're really done, and Sony supports us, and we're not going to make anything, and we're going to focus on other stuff.
Yeah, maybe they'll build out another Last of Us-type game and then create a new IP, like they did with Last of Us.
Exactly. Yeah. I think they're working on a couple projects anyways, one of them being The Last of Us 2. But if they do, I think it would be more interesting to have the daughter than Sam. Plus, right now, a lot of games are trying to, and I'm not taking a shot. I know people know I joke around about this stuff a lot. But I do think we are getting to where a lot of big developers are trying to push female leads. So this was kind of a setup like, hey, this is Nathan's daughter, and she's going to be a lead at some point, you know. Kind of the comment I was making about The Last of Us. If they continue the story in some way, or if it's somehow connected to the first one, as far as characters, then I definitely think Ellie's going to be your lead. Just like Dishonored 2 took one of the characters from Dishonored 1, the girl, who was the young girl, and now look, she's now one of the main characters that you use. This is something that's happening throughout the industry. They are trying to slowly, because again, you know, it's a bunch of suits that make these decisions, and they're like, look, white male leads are what sell, but they're trying to push, like, hey, you can sell a game with a female lead. Look at, you know, Tomb Raider and so on. So I think that would be something that maybe Sony and Naughty Dog would explore in the future, and that would be one I would probably be more interested in. Sam go. I didn't think he was that great of a character. I don't think he was bad, but he's old. Let him move on. Let him and Sully do their little side stuff. But I would love to see her.
I could see them doing a DLC starring her, and maybe it's more of like an adventure light type of thing where she's not going around the world and getting shot at necessarily. Maybe it's kind of like The Last of Us DLC where there's very minimal combat and it's much more just about that character and her experience. Who knows? I mean, it is still Naughty Dog. They've already got a track record of doing that type of DLC. I do think, just like you said, the Uncharted series will be back. It will have a different star, whether it's their daughter, whether it's, you know, jumping way back in time and doing a retro Uncharted with Sully as the star, as a very young Sullivan, or perhaps just a brand new character. Who knows? But I do see them coming back to Uncharted at some point in the future. But it'll be a long time. It'll be at least PlayStation 5, if not beyond that, when we finally see an official Uncharted game again, I think. So overall, I thought it was an amazing game, and it sounds like you really enjoyed it as well. Before we sign off here, give me your ranking. Let's rank the Uncharted games, just the main four. Forget about Golden Abyss for now. Uncharted 1 through 4, give me a ranking of best to worst.
4, 2, 3, 1, but 1 is a lot closer to 3 than how most people feel. 1 has a very, very special place in my heart, but I eventually, after replaying all of them this past year, I move 3 ahead of 1 because it's just a better game overall.
Yeah, I think 1 is definitely the least, but it did establish the character and the gameplay style, so you got to give it credit. It's still a solid game, but it's just dated. You know, it's 9 years old now, I think. So, you know,
yeah.
You get what you think you're going to get with a 9-year-old game with Uncharted 1.
Maybe they'll remaster the remaster on their 10-year anniversary.
Yeah, maybe. And maybe they'll update it to Uncharted 4 style gameplay. Now, that would be interesting to play all those games again with the stealth elements and all that kind of stuff. But
Uncharted 4K.
But I would rank it very similarly, but I do hold 3 in higher esteem than you. So I think 4 is the best Uncharted game. I actually enjoyed it just as much as Last of Us, maybe a little bit more. I thought it was amazing. And then I would go 2-3-1, but to me 2 and 3, I vacillate back and forth between those two because I think they are essentially an extension of each other. I thought 3 was just more of the goodness that was 2. So that's just the way that I experienced them. But anyway, 4 sounds like we agree that 4 is the best of the Uncharted games. So what a great way to go out.
I would like to play it again and see if I like it more. I like to play games like this at least twice and see, you know, because you already know what's coming. So sometimes you just enjoy it more. Because, like I said, some of the stuff that was frustrating me was just going from Dark Souls to Uncharted and it being a different style. Like, they did make some, you know, significant changes, even though it's clearly an Uncharted game. They made enough changes that I would like to play it again just to see if I like it as much as I'm saying I like it.
Yeah. Yeah, so I could see myself replaying actually all 4 of these games again at some point. The collection as well as this 4th one, they're just really good. They're like a solid set of movies that you're like, you know what, I want to revisit these characters in this world, and they're not an incredibly big commitment. They're shorter games just in general. Yeah, fantastic games. Well done to Naughty Dog. And if you guys enjoyed it as well, we'd love to hear your thoughts on Uncharted 4.
10 out of 10.
I would definitely give it a 10 out of 10, even with a few drawbacks here and there. I would, if I were doing a score, I'd give it a 10 out of 10. So
10 out of 10 for sure.
All right, well, that'll wrap it for our spoiler cast. Thank you guys for listening, and we'll check in with you next week. See ya.
Deuces.